Okay, today I want to just challenge you to, as I said, examine your heart. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13. So this is part of our examining our heart. How's our heart? If this is what we're supposed to keep with all diligence, how are we doing? Out of it, our innermost being, our spirit, soul, flow the issues of life. So we need to, number one, recognize symptoms of heart disease, spiritual heart disease. Recognize the symptoms. Sometimes illness creeps up so slowly and subtly that we're not even aware that we're sick until it's kind of way down the road and maybe it's too late to get the help we need. So when we recognize the symptoms of heart disease, number one, I'm going to list several things and just share the verses from the Bible that would substantiate these things. Number one, if we have a proud heart, we've got a problem. Psalm 101, verse 5, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer, God said. So we need to check our heart for pride. A proud heart, the Lord doesn't tolerate. He says, I'll not suffer that. Or secondly, similar to that is a stout heart, Isaiah 9:9. All the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of the heart. So the two are sister sins. Pride, proud heart, a stout heart. A stout heart that's just stubborn. In fact, that's another one too, but a heart that's set, rigid, not pliable, not sensitive, not tender to the things of God, called a stout heart in Isaiah 9:9. Thirdly, a fearful heart. Isaiah 21:4. My heart panted, and fearfulness affrighted me. How's your heart today concerning fear? I don't know. I think most of us are sort of prone to fear. It's kind of a natural thing, and it's exacerbated by circumstances, by listening to the news, by looking at the world around us, and we cannot help but sometimes go to bed at least with on our minds thoughts of what's this thing going to happen? What's this world coming to? It's seemed like it's spinning out of control, and it is apart from the grace of God. So a fearful heart. That we got to check that often. Fear not, and be not dismayed. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," because of His promises, because of His presence with us. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." There are so many reasons why we should not and cannot be given over to fear, but we're prone to as people, natural people. Fourthly, Jeremiah 4:4 says, circumcise your hearts and take away the foreskins of your heart. That is, take away that which is spiritually flabby, that which is going to be superfluous to spiritual growth. Get the world, those things that just are not going to be conducive to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Get them out of here. Just cut them away. Get them. Take the sword of the Spirit and do a number on them spiritually. Fifthly, a weak heart. Ezekiel 16:30. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things. A weak heart. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Paul said, we need to be a strong people spiritually. Have a strong heart. And be like the Not be like the tin man, but be like, maybe keep telling yourself, I'm strong, and draw from His strength. My strength is made perfect in your weakness, God said. So we need a strong heart. Then next, I'm going to probably lose track of the numbers, so just keep follow along with me. A heavy heart, Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink to him that is ready to perish, and wine to those that be of a heavy heart. God knows we sometimes are overcome with grief. We're overcome with a world that's just the cares of this life, and it's easy for us to just sink under the load instead of rolling our burden over onto the Lord, and He sustains us. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain. He will never suffer the righteous to be. So don't labor day after day with a heavy heart. Give it to Jesus. Let Him renew that joy that you have. Number seven. A despiteful heart. How's your heart that way? Do you despise anybody? Do you have a spiteful heart? A despiteful heart? Well, the Bible says in Ezekiel 25:15, The Philistines have taken vengeance with a despiteful heart. God speaks of Philistines as having that kind of heart. They've taken that, and that vengeance is something that is not ours to take, but unbelieving people do. And we can fall into that trap of just despising somebody, despising your lot in life, despising circumstances, despising God. And the Bible warns us against that. Number eight, a foolish heart. Romans 1:21, their foolish heart was darkened. Paul says, speaking of mankind apart from God, a foolish heart was darkened. Number nine, Jeremiah 5:23, a revolting heart. This people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart, the prophet said. And God said through him, this people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. Revolting. Revolting against God, rebellious against the will of God. Number 10, a deceived heart. A heart that is, Isaiah 44:20, a deceived heart that hath turned him aside. A deceived heart. Deceiving and deceived. Let's go on. Number 11, Jeremiah 48:29, a haughty heart. That's kind of been dealt with proud and stout. But we have heard, Jeremiah 48:29, we have heard the pride of Moab. And the haughtiness of his heart. God uses these nations round about, these enemies of God, to depict certain things. They have a haughty heart. They have a stout heart. They have a rebellious heart, a revolting heart. Don't you become that way. That's the message. And then another one, Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26, a stony heart. Did I give that one already? And then another one in Ezekiel, I am broken with their whorish heart, God said. Heart that has just gone after the world. So these are just depictions in the Word of God about possible symptoms of heart disease. Heart disease. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, the Bible says. So I want to ask you the question this morning, having listed several possible symptoms or of a heart that's gone diseased. How is it with you today? Is your heart right with God? Washed in the Savior's blood, humble and lowly, yielded and holy, right in the sight of God. That's an old song we've sung before. It's kind of the chorus of it, I think. Is your heart right with God? Washed in the Savior's blood. That's the first thing. Your heart that's washed. I think it was David who prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit, Psalm 51. A clean heart. So that we won't have these symptoms that we've just described, that the Bible has just described. Humble and lowly, yielded and holy, right in the sight of God. Oh, my. Let's get on our knees before the Lord sometime today and say, Lord, I want you to turn the spotlight of Scripture on my heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And apart from your mercy, there's no good in my flesh, obviously. And apart from your grace, there's nothing commendable about me. So I want to have a heart that's right with you. I want to be in tune with you. I pray for a clean heart and a right spirit. Renew that within me. I hope that's your prayer today. Maybe one of these things, or maybe all of them, or maybe several of them, just hit the nail on the head with our cold hearts today, our hard hearts, our rebellious hearts, our stony hearts, our haughty hearts, our whorish hearts that have gone after the world. God help us. Number one, recognize the symptoms. Number two, please. Number two, realize the causes. What's the cause of this? Well, I think probably you can figure it out, but just in case you need some help, let me give you some scripture to give the answer. They go, what's the cause? Will you turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews, the third chapter in the New Testament, because the writer of Hebrews deals with this problem of a diseased heart. And he characterizes our heart in, or the heart of God's people of old, at least. This is a history lesson, but we can apply it to ourselves in this 21st century. Talks about the people of God of old. And how that God dealt with them in the wilderness. And then he brings the message to home, down to home in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Wherefore, he says in verse 7, saith, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So he cites history, historical lesson, biblical history. He says, remember the day when God's people were in the wilderness 40 years? And what was the problem? Well, the problem basically was they had a hard heart. And that hardness of heart showed itself in two or three things. Would you hold your finger in Hebrews 3 and go back to Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78. Let's look at a couple of things in Psalm 78, which is an old Hebrews 3 is kind of a commentary on Psalm 78. So we'll point out a couple of things here in this psalm. I'd like to take time to read most of it, but I won't. But the first part of it just is a recitation of God's powerful deliverance and provision for them in this wilderness for 40 years. Notice verse 15, he clave the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink as out of great depths. He brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They sinned in spite of all of this that God had done for them. They notice verse 18. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. So number one, they tempted the Lord. They despised what God had already done for them. A despiteful heart. They ignored the fact that he had fed them every day. He had led them. He had made sure that their shoes didn't wear out in 40 years. Everything they needed, water out of a rock. Like it had come out of a deep fountain. All of these good things. And in spite of all of that, it says, they tempted God by saying, can he do more? This is not enough. Let's see some more demonstration of his goodness. So number one, they tempted God. Notice again in verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So they wanted to prove God. Can he do that? Let's see it. Well, he did that. He gave them manna. He gave them meat. He provided everything that they could have ever wanted and needed. So they tempted God. They proved him. They proved him. But notice again, verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger came also up against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. What an indictment. Verse 22, they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation. Notice, drop down to verse 32, please. For all this they sinned and believed not for his wondrous works. How could they do that? Well, it's the nature of human beings. Our deceitful and deceived heart. So number one, a heart that was hardened, Hebrews says. The writer of Hebrews says. Hold your fingers there. Psalm will be coming back possibly, but go back to Hebrews again, please. They had a hardened heart. But notice in verse 10, not only was their heart hardened, and by the way, it says in verse 9 of Hebrews 3, notice verse 9, your fathers tempted me. We saw that, Psalm 78, verse 19. They tempted me and proved me. By the way, this is in spite of the fact, as I've said, they saw his works for 40 years, he said in verse 9. They saw his works for 40 years. But notice in verse 10, they have not known my ways. They saw his works, but still they had not known his ways. They didn't compute spiritually. So number one, they had a hardened heart. But notice verse 10. Wherefore was I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. That is cause number two. A hardened heart gives way to an erring heart. They have erred. They have not known my ways. They have not acknowledged my works for 40 years on their behalf. They have departed from my word. They have ignored the word that I have spoken to them because of their erring heart. By the way, it can happen to us today, can it not? Those of us who are in and under and around and sometimes everything but through the Word. Hearing good preaching. Got a call this morning from a friend of ours in another state, said that she had listened to Dr. Jeremiah. She had listened to the young Falwell preaching instead of the late Jerry, his dad. Forget his first name. And she was listening to Charles Stanley before she went to church. She's got some good preaching already before she hits church. And probably some of you listen to some of the preachers too, I'm sure. Sometimes I try to catch Dr. Jeremiah. He's such a blessing. Probably others too, Stanley. But in spite of all that, we can still become calloused. We can still have a heart that's hard. Can God do this? Can He meet this need in my life? Can He show His strength on my behalf now? I'm looking up to see the bottom. Yeah, He can do that. He can understand. He does understand. He knows our... but in spite of the fact that we've seen His works personally and as a church and as a nation, and we've known His ways, we still sometimes get an erring heart, a heart that is discounting the Word of God, a heart that is disbelieving of the Word of God. God has been so good to us, just like He was to Israel. You know, the night when they left Egypt, the Bible says, God said this, and I think it's Exodus 7:11. He said, against any of the children of Israel. This should have been an indication of the... By the way, it would have taken them 11 days to gone from where they left Egypt to the promised land. But it took them 40 years instead because of a hard heart. Because of an erring heart. But God said... as the night they left, He said, against any of the children of Israel, Exodus 7:11, shall not a dog move his tongue. That's saying quite a bit, isn't it? They had loaded themselves down with spoils from the Egyptians. They said, here, take this, take this, take this, take this. Go, just go. They load themselves. And so they are leaving with millions of dollars of spoils, earrings, jewelry, gems. And so, and God says, when you leave overnight, when the Egyptians are grieving and mourning and moaning and groaning of the fact that their firstborn of every family is going to not live, when you leave, not a dog will bark at your leaving. That's how God took care of them. Miraculously. Gracefully. Graciously. And still they disbelieved the Word of God. They had an erring heart. They had a hardened heart. But notice back in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, they had a heart that was hardened through unbelief. Notice verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, what is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So they discounted the works of God. They disbelieved the Word of God. They departed from the will of God. Departing, he said, from the living God. All because of a hard heart, an erring heart, and an unbelieving heart. And the writer of Hebrews says, take heed, brethren, lest any of you. That message is just as pertinent today as it was when it was first delivered. Maybe more so. We live in a materialistic age. We live in a feel-good kind of an age. We're so self-centered. We're so spoiled, I think, in the United States. As a church, as believers, if all these things at our disposal suffered very little. And so it would be very easy for us to get a heart that's becoming hard gradually. Didn't happen overnight. Heart that's becoming erring, not listening to His Word, not obeying it. And then finally, a heart that is just hardened because of unbelief. Well, those are the causes. Let me just state them again. Hardness of heart. God forbid. Two, erring heart. Spiritual heart disease, erring. That is erring in disbelieving the Word of God. They have not known my Word. They've seen my works, but discounted my works. They have known my ways, but they've not known my ways. They've seen my ways, but they've not known them. And then unbelieving in departing from the living God. So let's go on and see. I want to share with you the cure. If maybe you said, okay, I see a symptom or two, and I can understand where it started. I got out of the Word. I put my personal relationship with Jesus through daily communion with Him on the back burner. I got so busy. I got so involved. The cares of this world pressed down so heavily. It's been quite a while since I've been having any time with Him alone. And gradually, and almost imperceptibly, it happened. My heart is not like it once was. It's not as tender to the things of God. Become a little more hardened. It's more easy for me to err with my heart than it once was. And I'd hate to say it, but I guess I would have to admit it, my heart's unbelieving. I can hear the message of the Word and say, that's right, and I leave unchanged, unwilling to change. Well, here's the cure. Here's the cure for you and me. Let's go. Ephesians 3:17. Several things. We got to resort to God's cure. We need to resort to letting Christ dwell in our hearts. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. You say, I'm a Christian. Doesn't he dwell? Yes, he does. But I mean, this means to let him be at ease in your heart. He never leaves us, but is he dwelling? Is he occupying with your fellowship, that place that he once had in your heart? That you may be rooted and grounded in by faith in love. What an admonition to Christian people. So let him dwell. Let him be at home there. Invite him in daily. Say, Lord, just control my thoughts today. Number two. Ephesians 5:19, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, that'll take care of a lot of the causes, the hardness and the unbelief. Making melody. Singing the songs of Zion in your heart. I think I might have told you a while back, I got on the internet and heard some music. Homer Rodehaver was singing. He led revivals for Billy Sunday for 20 years. And the article I read about him, and by the way, you can hear him. They got some old recordings, 1920, I think. He said the number one song that was sung in the Billy Sunday revivals, and by the way, he shook a nation. He had some uncouth ways and unorthodox ways. But when he left the town, he was in Boston for, I think, 13 weeks, a revival meeting. Not 6 days, but 13 weeks. And when he left the town, most of the saloons were closed when he left. It was an amazing thing. But Homer Rodehaver said, the song that we sang, that people wanted to sing every revival, was Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Now, I know that seems archaic, and it is. Have you ever sung that? Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Yeah. Great little song to sing in your heart. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, you can pick your own chorus. I'm sure there's a lot of more up-to-date ones, but there's probably not any better one than that. Right in the corner. It's a catchy little tune, and it's got a good message. Let's go on. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. These are the cures. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Peace that passeth understanding. How do you do that? Just by faith. Say, Lord, take over. I surrender. I yield my desires. I yield my agenda. I yield my wishes and will. And I'm going to let your peace rule my heart. I have peace with you. I want peace. I want the peace of God that passeth understanding. Number 4. 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Let the Lord direct your heart. And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let the Lord direct your heart. Don't try to lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Well, let him direct your heart. And the way to let him is get into the Word. There's Bible reading schedules back there. Get one. Pick it up. Get into the Word every day if you're not already. He will direct your heart. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lust. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Out of a pure heart. So call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, you got to just get on your knees every day and say, Lord, I confess my sin. Thou knowest I'm a sinner. I'm prone to wander. I sometimes do things I would not do, and sometimes I do not things I would do. God, cleanse me, wash me, purge me, and create within me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. And I want a pure heart to serve you with today. I want my thoughts to be pure. Next, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Let the Lord establish your heart to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable and in holiness before God. That's a tremendous thing. Let the Lord establish your heart. And then 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. So sanctify the Lord in your heart. Well, I wish I had time to turn to Mark 16:9 and 11. Jesus appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, and most of them didn't believe. They didn't believe Mary Magdalene's report. No, nothing to it. They had unbelieving hearts. We need a believing heart. We can turn to Luke 24:32, and Jesus on the road to Emmaus opened up the scriptures to those two disciples, beginning at Moses and prophets, and they had a burning heart. A burning heart. That's what we need. A burning heart. Burning through fellowship. A believing heart. Believing just through taking God at his word. Believing in him. How's your heart today? How's your heart today? Is it sick? Are you suffering from heart disease? If so, I bid you to come right down and get on your knees at this old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, I don't want to leave this building without having a heart right with you today. It's so simple, it's so easy, but yet you have to make the decision. Father in heaven, thank you that there's a cure for heart disease. Multiple cures. Singing and making melody. Just trusting you for peace and establishing our hearts. Lord, thank you for the cure. None of us have to leave here today with a heart that's giving us problems spiritually. We can have a heart right with you. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood? I pray that everyone would be able to say yay to that today. Yes, my heart's right with God. Maybe somebody here not saved, never having had a personal relationship with Jesus. I pray this would be the day that they would find peace with you through faith in Jesus Christ. Many of us have already made that personal decision, Lord. But the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the world and the flesh, the devil, have come in sometimes into our hearts and robbed us of that keen joy that we once had in serving Jesus. And over time, we have developed some hardness of heart. We've developed an erring heart, and we've developed a heart of unbelief. Help us to check it today, Lord, right now, today, before we leave this auditorium. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.